This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
This is going to be a really exciting hot seat. Back in the hot seat, Dr. Ilya Koloshenko is the founder, the CEO, and the chief architect of an amazing company, ImmunoWeb, at ImmunoWeb.com. Dr. Koloshenko, welcome back to the hot seat.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here today.
A lot's happened since we talked last, including more regulations, more regulatory pressure, more compliance issues for chief information security officers. Do you have any thoughts or advice now that you've passed the bar and you're a lawyer as well?
Sure, I'll be happy to do so. Just a quick disclaimer from my side, I will not be able to give a legal advice, so just sharing my personal thoughts. I think you hit the nail right on the head, and indeed we see a growing, I would even say surging regulatory pressure on cybersecurity professionals and executives. And given that now business is international, so it is a challenge to find a company in New York that would not have customers in Switzerland or in Europe and vice versa. Cybersecurity professionals have to consider this growing global regulatory landscape. As we observed during 2023, non-compliance can be expensive and can even trigger personal sanctions against cybersecurity professionals. So this is a next big thing, in my opinion.
So one of the things ImmunoWeb offers is the ability to do really deep dive pen testing, intelligently find things. If you find things other folks don't find, doesn't that help the CISO harden their network, improve due diligence and due care? If and when they were asked by the SEC, did you do a good job? How come you were breached?
So I think the answer is yes. It will certainly be helpful, at least from a technical viewpoint. However, what I'd like to highlight is that from the regulatory viewpoint, I'd rather say that what different regulators are looking for, they are looking for a comprehensive, risk-based, holistic cybersecurity strategy that would not just provide, you know, advanced, you know, comprehensive, sophisticated penetration testing, but probably first thing they'll ask will be a question about your strategy, about your policies and your procedures. So they may ask, for example, explain how do you measure your risks? What are your first priorities and explain why? Then they'll probably carefully review your own policy saying, all right, you have a policy saying that you conduct an annual penetration test. That's good. Explain why annual, not biannual or monthly or quarterly. And importantly, they are not looking for some unreasonable or excessively burdensome efforts. They're looking for risk-based strategy and comprehensive implementation. What I'd like to highlight as well that some companies, they make state-of-the-art policies where they incorporate many security controls that are mandatory across their organizations around the globe, everywhere. So, however, then they fail to implement some or even majority of the security controls. And it's very bad things because if you have a policy that is not a state-of-the-art policy, but nonetheless, it contains the most important security controls, processes, and you can at least explain why, how, and when you are doing certain things, it's much better than to have a state-of-the-art policy and then being in an awkward position saying, well, yeah, we have this specific clause saying that Multi-factor authentication shall be enabled on all devices, but you know, it's kind of, you know, too expensive, and maybe next year we'll finally implement something. In this case, probably you will have very difficult discussions with regulators because they expect you to comply with your own policies. So when you're drafting your policies, make sure that you will be able to comply, because otherwise it can trigger pretty bad consequences.
That is great advice. So really, a minimalist approach: get the policies in place that you can handle and expand on them over time if you have the staff or the automation, the right tools. But don't put all these great policies in place that you can't implement and just call it checkboxes, because if you do have a breach, you didn't really perform due care because you were unable to implement policies that you've documented. That's really great advice. So it's kind of an MFA. You talk about MFA, so many websites, I'm kind of worried about, you know, as we get towards certain holiday times, the e-commerce companies get flooded with DDoS attacks and cyber criminal exploits looking for if they can get PII, or they can just ruin a business or ransom the business, maybe take their site down and say, we'll put you back online. Is there something these web owners in e-commerce are doing wrong that, you know, what are the basics that they could do for a better job?
So I'd probably say that it's all about cybersecurity strategy, because I know many great companies that are investing a lot of money in cybersecurity, data protection, privacy, compliance. However, they have insufficient coordination among their privacy team, data management team, cybersecurity. So everybody's working in isolation, and eventually they have more incidents, more regulatory problems compared to smaller companies that have less budgets. However, when you have a centralized governance model where you have a CISO, for example, and or DPO who is managing all teams, so everybody is on the same page, people understand what they're doing, why they're doing, they clearly know their duties and responsibilities. They also have answers to questions like who is responsible for this specific process. If it fails, where I can send an email or whom can I call. So it is very important to have this strategy and collaboration, because I mean, we can implement multi-factor authentication, we can implement many other comparatively advanced security controls everywhere, we can invest in generative AI enabled software solution, but they will be futile unless we have this, you know, orchestration of security, privacy, and data management teams. Otherwise, we may protect everything, and suddenly we find out that our backup is located on a third-party site, and nobody even knows whether this vendor is reliable, because we simply have no vendor management program. So I'd say this holistic approach is probably the most important thing that companies can do to prevent or at least minimize their exposure to data breaches.
So have a strategy, implement a strategy, and kind of centralize and coordinate efforts so that you don't have these pockets that are kind of going in the wrong direction. Oops, we forgot to update the SSL certificate on one of our web servers, or we're using a generative AI plugin, but it's extremely vulnerable, or it was written by bad guys and we didn't know. We didn't check out the source code or the source of the app. So there's things you can do to avoid the risks of being exploited. And as you've said repeatedly, which I think is an important point, simple multi-factor authentication, strong encryption and multi-factor authentication probably go a long way. Plus, you still have to find and fix your vulnerable weak spots and harden them. Does that mean when we get into generative AI, will the data lakes be a target by cyber criminals? Where are the cyber criminals targeting their efforts?
That's a good question. I think cyber criminals may be particularly interested to steal intellectual property related to large language models, maybe training data. However, I don't think it will be the most interesting target for them. Probably given that now virtually all companies and countries are competing to develop the most advanced generative AI systems, I think we will see a lot of laser-focused attacks targeting AI companies and trying to steal their intellectual property and trade secrets.
Interesting. So going for the trade secrets. So many companies have anti-phishing rules and policies and phishing training, but employees have not been trained on what data or what data not to give to the generative AI solutions. Sales teams say, hey, it's exciting to take my spreadsheet and tell, ChatGPT or Google Bard or whatever it's now called, Gemini, I think, or Microsoft, Bing. Hey, can you fix this spreadsheet? Here you go. Rotate the columns and rows for me, or whatever. Relay it out, or make a PowerPoint out of this. They've now maybe given away company secrets, customer records.
I think it's a great summary, and from my perspective, I'd probably say once again, companies should have a policy how to use and how not to use generative AI, including in-house generative AI tools or external tools. Because we're not just talking about different chatbots. We have many different generative AI systems now for many different purposes, and we need to have a strategy once again. For example, what can we do with generative AI? For example, can we train our large language model on personal data? How we can comply with data subject requests when they're asking to have their data removed? Can we do this, technically speaking? So it's once again getting back, to the strategy. And then it is important that once you have your strategy, to ensure that your employees understand why you have it. Otherwise, you'll probably send a PDF to all your employees saying, please read this carefully. I guess your click rate will be 15%. However, if you create an interesting, cybersecurity and AI security awareness program to explain with some personal stories, leveraging, some personal experience of employees explaining why we're talking about generative AI, why it is important to implement certain safeguards and internal rules, people will have this aha effect saying, oh, this really makes sense. That's kind of, rings a bell. And I do understand now why I should not upload an Excel file onto the cloud, for example. So I think, comprehensive implementation, training, and enforcement of policies is very important. Otherwise, you will still have employees who either disagree with the policy for some good reason, say, oh, that's all about bureaucracy and they have tough deadlines. I need to sign this contract. And if I want to get this contract for our company, I need to do this right now, right here. So I'm not even talking about malicious insiders, but about, motivated employees who simply say, well, all this, hype around, AI is exaggerated. So I will do my best to perform well. And eventually they can create the most important data breach in the corporate history.
Do you think the generative AI companies have the best end user license agreements? I'm not sure if you'd have time to look at them all, but I'm just curious, where does the data go? What do they do with the data? They're providing such amazing capabilities, rapid deployment, ease of use. It's something that's taking off maybe a little too quickly for compliance. Are you out of compliance with GDPR if you accidentally send some records to, some third party like ChatGPT?
So I think it's a fairly complex question. However, the trend that we can observe now is growing transparency, because very first chatbots, they either had no user agreement, or it was very cloudy, saying that we may use your data for some purposes, including but not limited to. Now we can see that largest AI vendors, they try to promote transparency, and they explain end users how and if their input, being Excel files or questions or anything else, will or may be used, how they can remove it, and if they can do so. So I think that trend for 2024 will be growing transparency. And in my opinion, it is important that all users of generative AI have this clarity about what may happen with their data.
That's again great advice. And is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd love to share with our viewers and listeners?
So probably I would say that in 2024, it is important to ensure that you have a clear understanding of your cybersecurity roadmap, because if you are just following the existing rules, saying, well, we have a policy, we created it several years ago, and I'm not even sure who's in charge of updating our policy, and every single morning I'm logging to our SIEM to see the most recent events, probably do some investigations. That's a bad idea. So if you don't have this, approach to ensure that your cybersecurity is continually reviewed and improved whenever needed, you should probably talk to your colleagues. You should probably talk to your lawyers. And I've been always encouraging, cybersecurity people to talk to their lawyers, because I frequently see a huge gap between legal teams and cyber teams for good reasons on both sides. But when I manage to help some of our customers to collaborate, I have great feedback both from lawyers saying, well, now we finally understand all this cyber stuff, and we can help our cybersecurity team to better implement certain security controls, and we can even provide more evidence of compliance to regulatory agencies, for example. And techies on their side, they are also saying, wow, we finally got this point why we need to have full data encryption on this specific database, because we always perceive that this is like secondary non-confidential data. But now we have a clear understanding of our duties. We appreciate our lawyers. They're all great people. So collaboration between cybersecurity teams and legal teams, I think it is essential, because they can teach each other many great things, and they can continually improve their cyber resilience and also significantly reduce their legal exposure.
Again, great advice. I think collaboration with legal teams before a breach is so important, and the legal teams know how to get the budget, so it might even help educate others, the CISOs, the technical folks, on how to negotiate for what they need to get one step ahead of the next threat and to comply with regulations. Dr. Ilya Koloshenko, another great hot seat with you. You're the CEO, the founder, and the chief architect of ImmunoWeb, really all-in-one application security. We really haven't bragged on ImmunoWeb today, but I think our viewers and listeners know how great your company is. And if they don't, please go to IMMUNIWEB, ImmunoWeb.com. Check out his services, do some application security before it's too late, before you get breached, because the applications always have access to the data, and we need to comply with regulations.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.